Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. General at your service at ease. Broadus continues to be off. Send that man some love on social. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75-635. Fixing to go a full five flawless Rangers baseball tonight. Pregame at 7 o'clock. They're in Colorado to take on the Rockies. So that's one of those weird. There's a handful of teams across the big leagues that are starting games at 6:30 now, trying to get these things in before it gets too late. And I don't know how to feel about it. I like my 7 o'clock start times myself. But if the Rangers wanted to dial that back 30 minutes, it might make sense. Allow your younger audience to stay up for the whole game.
Yeah, that'll play. That'll play with the families and trying to grow the youngsters into being baseball fans. I get to my bedtime's at 9 o'clock. I'm watching the whole game, baby.
Perfect. That's right.
I want to watch these 1-0 games. Like, people forget how fun those are.
It'll take care of this fan base.
You love a good pitching duel right there.
8-0 was pretty good last night. We'll talk about that. I think the top story, though, by the way, salute to Aiden Butler coordinating your video. And a reminder to download that Odyssey app. It'll be Atolo's best friend, the ultimate backup. Of course, Wolchuk and Chia follower in the house. You guys have a good weekend?
Yeah, I would say it was solid. Had a little crazy reptile situation in the backyard yesterday.
That's right. I saw that.
That was crazy.
How long was that?
Was it on the weekend itinerary? That was probably like a good three and a half footer.
Yeah, I had to crap my pants.
Little snakey snake.
In fact,
action.
I might have.
That'll create quite a stir.
I want to bookmark what Wolchuk just said. That he might have crapped his pants this weekend.
You can gloss over that.
I don't think that was on your weekend itinerary either when you clocked out on Friday. The snake wasn't for me. We ultimately got it taken care of, and I'll get into more detail perhaps a little bit later on in the program. But
nice.
We are safe, but trying to go to sleep last night was tough.
With thoughts of that.
Just knowing.
What is possible.
Like, where's the brother? Where's the sister? Yeah, where's mom? Where's dad? They're probably trying to find their baby. I would be. Unfortunately, they're not going to find their baby, okay?
Because you murdered
but
him.
But they might find me.
Yeah, they might. They might come
you
looking.
Up.
Yeah, dude, sounds they're like, serious.
But we like found, we got reports that it was a harmless snake, not venomous.
Yeah, okay. The Twitter scientists are telling me it was just a water snake that I guess isn't venomous. Could still bite you, though, right?
Non-venomous water snake.
I
yeah.
could bite you.
Yeah, I think they could, but it wouldn't hurt. You know, you'd be all right.
To taste.
Okay, the top story in sport right now for the entire nation is Brendan Sorsby. He has already sought treatment for his gambling addiction. And what is this? He is filing an injunction against the NCAA seeking his college eligibility for the season. So the filing says Sorsby suffers from a clinically diagnosed gambling disorder, which is a mental health condition. So salute to the lawyers on that one. The NCAA has weaponized his condition to shore up a facade of competitive integrity while simultaneously profiting from the very gambling ecosystem it polices.
I think he's got a point.
That's great lawyer speak right there, man.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think if you're in Lubbock or you're a big fan of Tech and you want to use this as like a go get 'em rallying cry, like, hey, our guy has a problem, you know? You guys can't just bring all this gambling into college football.
Just throw it in his face like that.
And then kick players out when they're like, hey, I want to gamble too.
You're taunting him every single game day.
I mean, you can make it flow logically. And if you're a lawyer, you're talking to the Sorsby family like, yeah, $200,000, I'm going to go in front of a judge and nail this speech. You know, I just don't think he's got much of a shot because of the rules. And that's unfortunate because I have so many Red Raider friends in my life, and I want to see them have fun.
No, you should just text them and say, get ready to learn Will Hammond, buddy.
Will Hammond could be a good player, and he got cleared according to the text, which is great. My brother-in-law is already flooding me with texts right now. The NCAA does not want this smoke. Red Raiders are out in full force trying to rally for the troops for their guy. I mean, the hope could be, do they end up just saying, all right, you're suspended half the season? And if you're a Texas Tech fan, that's a big win.
You can hope, like, let's play our hand as strong as possible. Let's throw ourselves in the mercy of the court. I think it's pathetic. Like, I wouldn't want me or anybody in my family to say, oh, I got a problem. I'm addicted to gambling. Please let me back in. Like, you screwed up, right? You were an idiot. You were gambling on the games that your team was in. You know this was against the rules. Be accountable and say, I screwed up. Thank you very much, NCAA, and I am sorry. Not this, oh, the NCAA is wronging me for bringing gambling into my life and then throwing me out. Like, you can tune into sports games and see alcohol ads.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you can get drunk at the game as a player. That doesn't mean you can drink beer and go into the game, right? Mm-hmm. It's very easy to shoot down the idea that things we're going to advertise for. It doesn't necessarily mean you have a blanket green light to do this on game day.
100%. Yeah, and that's a very clear and obvious pushback. So you're not buying. You think he's just milking this thing about the, like, oh, I'm I have a problem. I'm addicted to gambling. Please give me a break on this.
I mean,
the way he's spinning it and selling it.
I mean, I am a lifetime problem gambler. You know,
you personally.
Yes. So I know what that is. You know,
right,
I'm intimately aware of what it is.
Yeah.
You make a stupid bet and then you double it and then you find yourself in the hole. And now you're saying, how can I get out of this hole? And the only way out of it in your personal private world is to keep pushing the envelope.
Right.
And the more you get underground, the more desperate you are to find an advantage, right? The rest of us, what we do is we call these 1-800 lines of people that promise you the world, like Brandon Lang, you know, like I got all the, mm-hmm. give me $500 and I'll give you, we'll go 10-0 this weekend. That's what normal people do. But, you know, if you're inside the sport, you have access to a deeper layer of information and you, with greed and fear taking over in your life, psychologically ruined. You're considering telling your parents about this maybe six-figure debt that you've incurred,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a lot going on here that makes people desperate enough. And that's without even including any organized crime. You know, we don't know if Brendan Sorsby went there. We assume that all of his gambling was done on the internet. But if you do go to, an organized crime bookie, now they're really starting to put a high level of pressure on you that will make you do a completely other level of desperate stuff, you know, to try to get back to even. So, you know, I unfortunately think it's so crappy for what's happened to Tech because they couldn't get there in the old system, right? Now they got close, but now in this new system, it looks like they're going to be a major player,
mm-hmm.
and this year could have been special.
Yeah,
the good news to me is that you have the resources and now you have momentum. And maybe, you know, maybe one of these younger guys can play, but you're probably going to have to wait until a year or two down the road before you find yourself back in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a big bummer. I mean, ultimately, I hope that he ends up getting reinstated. I think it'd be great for Texas Tech. But big picture, you can't bet on your own team. And that's what it comes down to. I don't care who he's betting on, but you can't bet on Indiana when you're enrolled at Indiana and on the Indiana football team. And it doesn't matter to me that it was several years ago, because the NCAA is going to have a bigger problem on their hands if all of a sudden they just say, you know what, we'll look the other way here, you're right, we don't want to go through this legal battle, and then what's going to happen from here on out when every other player pops up here and they gambled on their own team? You've got to put a rule in place against this, which they have for this very reason. So yep. Sorsby, in my opinion, probably screwed. And I don't know what's going to happen with his future. That's the thing that really stinks here, because you really needed this year from an NFL standpoint to evaluate him. In the big games at Cincinnati, he really didn't play his best. And I think that there are a lot of NFL teams that are like, we're not really sure. We see a very talented player, but then now you've also got the gambling stuff. When you're a quarterback and you're face of the franchise, you can't be worrying about, is my quarterback having a gambling tiff over here? And now he's, you know, Shohei Ohtani, and now we're going to have issues. You know, I don't know where he's going to end up going in the supplemental draft if that happens, but it sucks for Red Raider Nation. It really, really does.
It does. And I think you make a good point that as this gambling becomes more and more out there, you've got to set the precedent now.
Right, right.
You can't
lay down the law.
Evaldi was back, and he was awesome. 7 scoreless. The Rangers' offense really surged after taking a couple of nights off. That got kind of rough, almost getting no hit.
Yes, what the hell?
But they beat the Astros in the finale, 8-0. Jake Berger, 4 ribbies, had a homer, had a double. Higashioka went deep as well. So it was good to see him avoid the sweep, but they did lose a little bit of ground over the weekend, and the offense not consistent enough as they go into Colorado tonight. The pregame is coming up at 7 o'clock right here on the Fan with the first pitch at 7:40. okay, Mavs fans have been checked out for months, but many basketball fans in our social circles will be fired up tonight as Game 1 Thunder hosting the Spurs. It is the Western Conference Finals that are going to be underway. How much of a shot does San Antonio have here?
I mean, in my mind, I think they have a decent shot in terms of, like, I expect this to be a very competitive series. Like, this is not going to be Oklahoma City just running it up and sweeping or gentlemen sweeping. I think this is a minimum of six games, and I think there's a real shot that it goes seven. I think the biggest thing is just that OKC kind of has that experience, of course, and that matters. For San Antonio, this is going to be kind of like, this is the first time you've made it this far, and Oklahoma City is really unbelievable. Now, the Spurs have played them extremely well. Wemby's played extremely well. It'll be interesting to see if they, you know, tick up his minutes a little bit more. Like, you're not just be able to go out there and play your requisite 29 minutes or whatever. Probably need to get him on the floor a little bit more. But he's had Chet Holmgren kind of in the blender in their matchups there. So I think this is going to be a heck of a series. I really do. I will still take OKC with the home court advantage and just the championship experience to unseat the Spurs. But I think it goes six or seven games.
Yeah, San Antonio's won 4 of 5 in the series,
yeah.
The matchups. They do match up well. Obviously, things change significantly when you get to the postseason. But, yeah, OKC, a 6.5-point favorite in this one.
Wow.
And maybe by the time we get to Game 2 on Wednesday, that number could come down. I think that's what I'm hoping for. Game 3 will be in San Antonio on Friday, we'll check.
I guess De'Aaron Fox, like his health. I mean, I think the Spurs could absolutely win the series. But I think because of the injury that he's dealing with, I'd still lean OKC in six. I think I'm with you on that. I think both these conference finals should go at least six games. What a bummer it was last night. Detroit just looking lifeless. A game seven at home, and you come out that flat. That was a disgusting performance for the Pistons.
Okay. I guess it is back to the drawing board, for Detroit. Cade Cunningham, just 13 points.
Mm.
That one's pretty tough there to see. And James Harden with another shot. James Harden with another shot to sort of redo his legacy. He had some big games in the series. Maybe even tallied more points total than Donovan Mitchell. So that's an interesting storyline to track. The NBA firmly in the international player era. Nick Wright posting, it's not only been 8 straight years of an international MVP, but also 6 straight years of international players finishing 1-2 and 5 straight years of international players 1-2 and 3. The last American to finish in the top 2 of MVP voting was LeBron in 2020. So that is another interesting trend. I do think part of it is cyclical. I also think Shea Gilgeous-Alexander should kind of count as an American.
He's Canadian.
He spent a lot of his high school years in Toronto, which is basically just like northern New York.
In Canada.
But yeah, I mean, if you're hooping in Canada, you are not part of the European or African basketball industry.
Right.
You are living in American basketball reality. So his story is determination and dedication, grinding every morning on my handles and shooting 1,000 shots in the driveway and my parents sacrificing to do whatever it takes to put me in the best games possible. That's the American sports experience for making it to the top of the NBA. In Europe, what happened is basketball without borders, it introduced the game to the world from a grassroots level at the highest education level possible. And they built out infrastructure to teach basketball from the ground up to countries that didn't understand it and sent incredible coaches. Masai Ujiri was part of this. And as a result, like the decision making and the total balance of the skill set is much more heavily coached at a young age.
Okay.
And now we're going away to an academy system like 12 years old Luka Doncic to learn basketball from teaching professionals for 6 to 8 hours a day while we also do our school. Like, and I think that's something that, American basketball should take under consideration. I also think part of this, again, it's cyclical, and it happened post-Jordan, and then Kobe evolved, but really there was 6 or 7 years between that. And then 4 years later, LeBron's coming along. Mm-hmm. So, I think before too long, there is going to be a dominant American basketball player that, puts together a Kobe, Jordan, LeBron type of stretch. But also, it's a chance to review you know, on what is different with the learning the game process for our players compared to theirs. You know, for our players, for the longest time, getting to the highest level, just being in our environment was good enough because iron sharpens iron. We're going to go hoop, and I'm going to play you, and you're going to play me, and we're all going to go home and watch all the games on TV, and we're figuring it out together, and like collectively as part of this ecosystem, we're going to make each other so much better. But now I think we're taking that up against a program that was intentionally built to create basketball players with a full skill set and an ideal like view of the game. Mm-hmm. And you just can't get that if you're in your driveway playing one-on-one with your best friends, you know? So I think there's something to that. The other really interesting thing though, is that while they are making individual talents, Wemby, Giannis, Luka, that win MVPs or are capable of winning MVPs, they aren't building the full team. Isn't that crazy?
That's a good point.
Like how are you achieving the highest possible spot?
Yeah.
But we're going to wax your team when we get to the Olympics.
Right.
Maybe by 15, maybe by 20. It might only be by 8, but we're going to beat you.
Yeah, I guess just because they're all divided up so much. You're playing against a bunch of different countries. Like America, we have all of our NBA players from America. Then you go play over. Now all of a sudden, Luka's not playing with Jokic.
Yeah.
Right? Like they play for different countries.
But those countries are big enough to dominate in soccer, you know, create teams that destroy us, even though our population is 4 or 5 times bigger. I don't know. I just thought that was a quirky, interesting thing to it.
Yeah. And you've had certain, like Argentina, I think, had a pretty good squad.
They did.
When they
ran
them to, like, it has happened where, like, France, I think, has come close. But you're right. They don't have necessarily the quality starting five and depth that Team USA puts out. They're truly like maybe 2 studs. And the rest of the team's kind of like just a bunch of Jags.
All right, we got to run. We got the champ on the other side. Then Wolchuk's top 10, buddy. Where are you taking it?
All right, we did celebrate National Barbecue Day over the weekend. And when I think barbecue, outside of just outstanding brisket and delicious foods, I do think sauce. I found a list of the top 10 ranked current fast food sauces. 877-881-1053. Give me your favorite sauce in the fast food game next in the next.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, and the segment's brought to you by The Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call The Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay, top 10 here in just a sec. Let's go into the Pimp Cup. Lucius with the champ.
Now, what is this going for, 3 today or 4 today? I believe it's going for 3 or 4. 3, huh?
Three sounds right to me.
I'm thinking three. G-Bag of the Day. We do it every week. Deal on The Fan 530. Replay the champ right about here. And our champion going for 3, as we all just decided, is our guy, Mr. Brian Broadus, as we call him, Interruptosaurus Rex, because he has a gift of interrupting at the right moments. He does. This one right here is President Franklin D. Roosevelt's historic speech to Congress. This is a declaration of war, and Broadus had to talk through it.
December 7th. 1941.
Who did it?
A date which will live.
Was that Germany or was that Japan?
Who did it?
The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked.
Watch, he's going to say Germany, I bet.
By naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
That was my next guess. Yeah.
The United States was at peace with that nation and at the solicitation of Japan was still in conversation.
Does he speak Japanese? I didn't know that. Is that, has he always known Japanese, or is that like you think, like once he lost use of his legs, did like make his brain stronger? Hey, speaking of Germany, why does he wear that mustache, the Hitler guy? It's just a dumb mustache, right? Like, why does anybody take them seriously?
Very many American
I Is Zella considered attractive there in Germany?
Fair question, man.
So good.
Yes, the champ faces some challengers every night at 5:30. I feel like Broadus will be back Wednesday or Thursday. He wasn't clear on that. He said I'm out Wednesday to Wednesday, boys.
Yeah, I think he's going to be back Thursday because Wednesday we've got a day game. So it'll be kind of, we got like a quick, it's a 2 o'clock day game. So we got one of those shorty shows. So I think he's probably going to punt on that. Is the vibe that I got.
Okay.
And then he'll be back with us Thursday.
Looking forward to his return. Looking forward to Wolchuk's top 10 at 220. Here's Zach.
Do you guys enjoy National Barbecue Day on Saturday? Get any barbecue in your life?
I made some orange magic wings.
Oh, you beautiful man.
Nice move, dude. I actually smoked a brisket pizza.
That sounds freaking awesome. What went into that?
It was phenomenal. It was just the butcher shop that I go to, they had these pizzas ready to rock and roll. You just got to bake it, do whatever you want. So I just threw it in the smoker. I hadn't done that before. Came out fantastic.
Oh, smoked pizza.
Smoked pizza.
So good. Chief, I found a new wood pellet that is stronger than anything I've ever had. I love a pellet grill for the convenience. I always want more smoky flavor than they produce.
Right.
I'm gonna bring this to you tomorrow, and then I'll announce it tomorrow at this time.
Okay. Oh wow, that's a tease.
Pellet grill fans need to hear this.
Heck yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Adds like a super smoke in there.
You believe any barbecue in your life? How was the weekend?
It was a great weekend. It's fantastic, bro. No barbecue, but I did have a nice big chunky burger from this place called Big Daddy's.
Big Daddy
on Grapevine Lake.
Let's go. Yeah,
I'm sitting out there on the patio catching a vibe.
Did you fish?
I did not go fishing. No fishing this weekend. I didn't go get the trails like I wanted to, but I did hit some nature vibes.
Okay.
But it just wasn't the trails that I wanted.
All right. Well, hey, I guess next weekend's another. Did you catch any of the fights on Saturday?
I did. All of them.
All 17 seconds of them?
Yeah.
Hey, that's Rhonda's way.
That's
if Rhonda's
going to
win, she's going to make sure that's a quick finish.
Netflix was buffering so bad, I lost it, and then it came back, and they were raising their hand.
Yeah. I mean,
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, well, you didn't miss much. It was just typical Rhonda armbar. You
know? Nice armbar.
But the card was good. The card was good. I like the card.
You know, I did think that the prelims were actually fantastic. Yeah. And, I mean, the final three fights, look, Nate's probably done. I think if Mike Perry's beating the crap out of you like that.
He's covered in his own blood.
Yeah, and you don't really see Nate get finished like that. I mean, you have a corner stoppage. That was rough.
That dude he was fighting is a maniac.
He is, man.
Real life, man. Nobody should fight him.
No, I think they both have CTE really badly.
He's a maniac.
Yeah, there's...
He was calling out folks, and everybody was like, hey, it's your night, man, you know.
Yeah. You go ahead and take that one, bud. But it was kind of cool to see John Jones there and then Francis Ngannou. I mean, I'd love to see that fight finally happen. I don't think that it ever will. But you never know. Maybe Jake Paul will have the finances to throw enough money at the both of them that it will.
That would be a good career turn for him. Fight promoter.
Yeah.
You know, fight maker.
He's rocking with. Yeah. Especially now that he's not going
to
fight
my
again.
Social to promote other people fighting.
Definitely. I mean, it could be good for fighting. And I don't know that anybody's really going to be able to directly compete with the UFC. But if he gets enough financial backing, maybe he can. All right, let's do it. Top 10 fast food sauces, 877-881-1053. 469 said they had Terry Blacks for the first time after their daughter's college graduation. Congratulations. Delicious. I mean, we're spoiled. You could literally walk from Pecan Lodge to Terry Blacks. Of course, we got Hurtado. We got Hutchins. I mean, we've done the top 10 barbecue list in Dallas, and it's just, I mean, it's
you
just
could do
a
barbecue crawl right there through Deep Ellum.
It's unbelievable.
Crush it.
Chick-fil-A roasted barbecue from the 817, which I guess is that, are you talking about the honey roasted barbecue sauce at Chick-fil-A? That is an underrated sauce. I'm with you 100% on that.
Is it different than the regular barbecue?
It is. It is. Oh. So the honey roasted is kind of a mix of barbecue and honey mustard in a way.
You get a little sweeter barbecue sauce out of that.
Yeah. Like if you get the grilled chicken sandwich, you're supposed to get a packet of the honey roasted barbecue sauce to accompany that. Put that on there. I mean, it's great on any sandwich, but specifically the grilled. It was made to go with it. It's delicious. Popeye's Sweet Heat Sauce is number one, and they're willing to box about it from the 601.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I've had that.
I haven't done the Sweet Heat. I've done the Black and Ranch there, which I think
is outstanding. Yes, that's solid.
Whataburger Spicy Ketchup, which will be in the list for the 817.
Easily.
Whataburger's Buttermilk Ranch from the 972.
I do like their ranch.
I don't know that I've had the
I'll ranch. Go back and forth. Like, if I get the tenders for whatever reason, I'll go back and forth, like, bite for bite. One bite's in the spicy ketchup, the other bite's in the ranch.
I always like the sweet and sour from McDonald's.
Yes, dude.
It's an underrated sauce.
I would get a chicken sandwich and put it on there.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they have it anymore.
They do. Oh, they do. It. Yeah, oh, they I introduced it to my kids literally last weekend. They're like, oh, this is fire.
Yeah, and it's it happens to be number 10 on this very list. Number 10 is the sweet and sour sauce from McDonald's. And I'm with you. It is underrated, especially with those nuggies. Very good. Number 9, zesty sauce from Burger King.
Burger King has a zesty sauce.
Which is for onion rings. They're onion rings. It's their zesty sauce. Get it zesty. Number 8 is the spicy ketchup at Whataburger. Kicks out the regular ketchup. The regular ketchup didn't make the top 10.
I mean, they're both it's the 1A, 1B of ketchup.
It's like, do you just want spice or do you not? Because their ketchup's the best. 7, Lucius, we've got an Arby's contender. It's the horsey sauce at Arby's.
Good stuff. That's good stuff.
Is it horseradish?
I don't know what it is. It probably is if it's called horsey.
Is it white?
Yeah.
Yeah, smoky.
I like Arby's sauce better, though, bro.
Yeah, I do, too.
Arby's sauce is a banger.
I never get the horsey sauce. I just do the Arby's sauce.
It's the house sauce.
The Arby's sauce, I mean, honestly, this list is what you should do is just combine them. And then you've got the best of Arby's right there. Because the two signature sauces, you got a smoky tomato-based Arby's sauce.
And it's kind of like a ketchup and a barbecue sauce in one. How would you describe that Arby's sauce?
Yeah.
I think because it's unique.
It is, but it's got kind of like a more vinegary barbecue sauce. Yeah, it's got a tang to it. The hot mustard at McDonald's.
Let's go.
Comes in at 6, which I had never had. And then when we were at Nosebleed Seats at night, Eric's like, dude, you got to try the hot mustard at McDonald's. I did. Fantastic.
There's something different about it.
Like, what are you putting in nuggets?
Yeah, I will honestly dip anything in there. I'll go fries. I'll go a chicken sandwich, a burger, like whatever. It's the hot mustard and it's the sweet and sour sauce when it comes to McDonald's. But it is like I told Walchuk about this years ago, and he's like, dude, it's like mustard is mustard, but it's not. There's something. I don't know what they do to it, but they've got something. They've got something working, and it's been working for decades now.
Yeah, no, Eric was right. It's fantastic. Hell yeah, the hot mustard's the best from the 972. Don't worry, Wingstop Ranch. We will get to it. Is on the list 817. Don't get too excited. It's there. Hands down, Jack in the Box Buttermilk Ranch. We've gotten that from multiple people.
J and the B Buttermilk Ranch.
J and the B Ranch, and the 214 saying, hold up, Wendy's sweet and sour sauce in the round pack. That's the one that you need to get.
Okay, I've not tried that. For Wendy's, it's only honey mustard for me at Wendy's.
We should go sweet and sour sauce and mix it with the honey mustard together.
Oh.
Yeah, boy.
That sounds pretty damn good.
At Wendy's?
Dip the burger in it, too. Yep.
Yeah.
That sounds good. You got the Taco Bell fire sauce comes in at number 5, which, Eric, I don't think you would ever try.
No, I mean, I have before, but
you wouldn't go back because then it's going to end up in a
you'll be
situation.
You'll be whistling after that.
You've got Popeyes, Black and Ranch, coming in at number 4.
Strong.
The Wingstop Ranch, the reign supreme.
Man, Lucius, was that Wingstop you had in there earlier, Lucius?
I sure did. Leftover from this weekend.
That leftover Wingstop smell, that could easily be a top 10
I always
smell.
Got a large ranch on me, bro.
Yeah, I know you
do. I got a large ranch on me,
cuz. I know you do.
Just in the car, just if I need a little taste.
Just in case, dog.
It smells so good in there, dude.
I mean, my daughter, yesterday, we went out. She wanted a chicken quesadilla. Which I think it's just because she now knows how to say it, so she just said chicken quesadilla.
Well, and quesadillas are so good.
They're delicious, but the thing was, she didn't really want the quesadilla. She just wanted a vessel for ranch.
Oh.
And it ended up turning into, she literally was sticking her entire hand into the ranch and then just eating her hand. Mm. And I was like, Eliza, honey, we can't do that.
That's insane.
I mean, the problem is, guys, I can't, I'm a softy, man.
Yeah,
I can't really say no to her.
You just let her do whatever she wants. If she wants to just go wrist deep into the ranch, you're going to be like, sure, honey, do your thing.
Yeah.
Let me get you some paper towel.
The biggest mess of all time.
Literally what I did. Yeah. I'm like,
shout out to you girl dads over there.
It's just like,
future husband's going to be so upset. Like, I cannot tell her no.
She's got it wrapped around her finger. It is so bad.
I'm the same way, dude. She'll be like, hey, can you make me a burrito? Or we call it a burrita for Winda. And I'll of course I will. Yeah, of course I'm going to make you a burrito. What kind of a dad do you think I am? And mom will say, she's not even hungry. She's going to take 2 bites. And I'm like, that's fine. You know, we're going to have fun making this burrito.
All right. Shout out to Cody. Cody texted us, said, hella underrated, and no one's talking about it, but the Slim Sauce from Slim's Chicken. I've only been to Slim's once.
Yeah, Slim Chickens, I see it a lot. I don't think I've ever been there.
It's really good chicken.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to have to try that out, Cody. And then our old buddy Tony Spears texted and said Cane Sauce and Freddy's Dipping
Sauce.
Yeah,
I had that one on the list. Cane Sauce. It's like the main course.
Yeah, and Cane's is number two. Number one is the Polynesian Sauce at Chick-fil-A.
That's the number one sauce?
Yes, and Chick-fil-A Sauce wasn't even on here. On this list.
Ooh, I don't know about
which
that,
which I think
dude.
Is very debatable, because I still would put Chick-fil-A Sauce as the number one. I do love Polynesian. Did you have any other on your list, Lucius, that we didn't mention? Okay.
The Cane Sauce is incredible. For as much as I dunk on Cane's for being just very, very average across the board,
yeah.
Their sauce is top tier.
And the sweet and spicy sriracha is good, too, at Chick-fil-A.
To Brian's point that he went upside my head on early last week as far as liking plain food,
mm-hmm.
I get Cane's with no sauce.
Wow.
I don't even know.
It's noodles with no packet.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the point of going, fam?
I agree. There's so much better chicken out there.
My family loves it.
Respectfully.
My family loves it. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm getting Cane's plain.
That is okay. Shocking.
Do you just not like the sauce?
No. It's too much.
What about ketchup?
There.
Not a ketchup
guy? Yeah, I'll do ketchup, but.
All right.
You know, at that point, I don't do ketchup on chicken strips. That's disgusting.
Well, you like what you like. That's disgusting.
Yeah, that is disgusting.
Wow, ketchup on chicken tendies. Okay. All right. Learned something new today about you.
Alrighty, thank you, Wolchuk.
Yeah, just when you think you know somebody, bro. Yep.
That's like serial killer level.
That's crazy, man.
That is,
dude. That's watch list stuff.
Yeah. I think you're
you guys would appreciate it.
I think you're the
it.
Only person in the world that does that. There's not anyone in the world that would be like, yeah, I could have Cane's without the sauce.
Cane's with no sauce. What?
I think I've kind of learned to like it. I have. Okay, we got a run on the other side. We got a little basketball discussion, Chief.
Yeah, let's crank open a rim sesh. How did Dallas fare in the anonymous player poll? That's next year.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Nation.
Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. We're 1 hour away from Vach Lombardi joining us for Krusty's Corner. Here's Chief with an afternoon basketball discussion.
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids to bed, and that G-Bag Nation goes all 56 inches around that rim. So it's a special occasion when we get to go around the rim with someone who may or may not have soiled their pants this weekend.
Bro, I thought we had just made it through.
But we do congratulate SGA for going back-to-back in the MVP. Pretty incredible. Congratulations to him. 14 individuals have done that. 14 back-to-back MVPs. The last of which was the polar bear, Nikola Jokic.
Wow.
Giannis has done it, Steph, LeBron, you know, all the big names. They've gotten this done, and now SGA is in that same lore. Okay, and last year he gifted all of his teammates some Rolexes for helping him on his MVP campaign.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the ultimate, like, I'm going to include my guys superstar.
Yeah, like after a game, you want to interview me? I'm going to have the team around me, all making faces and giving me wet willies because that's what we're about. We're going to go win a championship. Well, this time he's going with the Audemars Piguet. Piguet watches?
Audemars Piguet.
Piguet watches.
The AP. AP. Icy.
There we go. And I'm looking at them somewhere in the neighborhood of about $37,000 a watch.
Ooh.
That's what he's gifted his teammates, as well as a trench coat. They all get the same colored trench coat.
Okay.
And they all get, looks like they're all a little bit different. But they're all the Audemars Piguet watches.
I wonder if it's the Royal Oaks. That's the ones you want to get in the game, bro.
Okay, it is, bro.
Yeah, that's what you want, man.
Royal Oak 40.
I wish I was on the damn squad. I should have focused in school.
Royal Oak 42 men's offshore driver, I believe is what it is. So, I mean, if you're on the Thunder, man, you're definitely putting in the vote
Boy,
there for
am
your
I
guy.
Impressive.
for your guy,
oh, yeah,
SGA.
These look incredible.
Yeah, they are pretty nice. I still can't wrap my mind around, like, what is the difference between a $37,000 watch and one that's considerably cheaper.
Yeah. They're
both telling time, and you can get some really, really good-looking watches.
One just feels real. The other, you're just, you know, you're a fraud.
Cheaper. But that's a heck of a teammate right there. I mean, that's what quarterbacks do, right? Quarterbacks do that. SGA's like, I'm back-to-back MVP. I'm going to hook my teammates up. Now, you also have the Spurs just totally dominating the T-Wolves to the point where with minutes left in the game.
I think there were 8 left.
8 minutes left in the game. And then you'll see Anthony Edwards going over to the Spurs bench area and breaching their huddle.
He's recruiting.
As if he's...
He pulled an Earl Thomas, get me.
I thought he was asking for a Spurs uniform. Like, let me be on your team.
Hey, go ahead and send him De'Aaron Fox and some ones and let me and Wemby cook.
Let's execute this trade right now.
Yeah, let's make this happen, please.
I'm not going back to Minnesota, okay? I am a Spur. You are taking me. But he wanted to go pay his respects. Hey, you guys just absolutely waxed us. And I know there's 8 minutes or so left in this game. I'm going to do something that's never been done before. I'm going to go do the handshake stuff a little bit early. Get it out of the way. All right. So then afterwards, you get our guy Dirk. You get the vets. Udonis Haslem, Amazon Prime. They're talking about Anthony Edwards. They're reacting.
I've watched the NBA and been a part of it for a long, long time. I've never seen this. A guy walking into the huddle with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and dapping up the entire team. Too much for me. Obviously, you can do that after the game and show plenty of respect. That was a little strange for me.
And what I will say is great as Ant is as a basketball player, there's still some growth for him as well. Because as a leader, I would not have walked down there and shook their hand. I would not have walked down there and shook their hand with 8 minutes left in the game. As a leader of my troops and my guys, I would not show that weakness. The game is not over. I got 8 minutes left. I still got smoke coming out of my ears because I'm so damn mad we losing. Let me calm down for those 8 minutes since I'm not in. And then after those 8 minutes, I'll go down there and I'll congratulate them and their coaching staff. But in the middle of the game, when I got guys that have sat the bench and cheered me on, no, I'm going to sit there and cheer those guys on. I'm going to put that energy back into those guys. And then when the game's over, I'll go over there and shake their hands. So that's just the way I handle things. I'm a little bit different. I'm a little bit old school. I understand there's a different generation, but I don't think if they were beating San Antonio, Wemby would have went down there and shook his hand with 8 minutes left. I don't think so. I damn sure know Wemby wouldn't have went down there and shook his hand.
You know that because no one in the history of basketball has ever done this before, at least from my understanding.
That's insane.
It's a different way of doing things. Dirk's like, I've never seen this before. We're all like, hey, we appreciate the respect that you want to give. Give it at the end of the game. Yeah, there's two sides to this. You have the guy that's doing what Anthony Edwards is doing, and then you have the guy who's walking into the tunnel with like 30 seconds to go and doesn't want to acknowledge the other team. It's a little bit more toxic competitive. I would kind of prefer that if I'm a T-Wolves fan. Like, my guy's so ticked off and disgusted, he can't even shake the other team's hand. I'd prefer that.
Yeah, I don't mind that. So I think where I'm at is that if you wanted to be unique and just be like, hey, I'm Anthony Edwards, I do things differently – And you went and did that, I could see it. Like, all right. But you coming off the court is almost like you disrespecting your teammates. Like, it's over with 33 minutes to go, 33 down with 8 minutes to go. I'm off the court, so I'm kind of making it about me. Like, they're going to put the scrubs in now, so I just want to shake your guys' hands, let you know they've taken me out.
Yeah.
So this is our acknowledgement that we have no shot.
Yeah, we've waved the white flag.
The coach, I think, at that point, with 8 minutes to go down 33, is saying, Anthony Edwards, you've been terrible tonight. Let me see if the bench players can save you. So it doesn't seem like you're that very in the moment. But was that Tracy McGrady? He nailed it. You know, there's some growing up to do.
Yeah, that was Dirk and Udonis Haslem.
Udonis Haslem.
Okay. They got Blake Griffin, and they were all kind of opining on that. They were also calling out Shams this weekend because Amazon was supposed to announce the MVP for SGA, and it was Shams who was doing his job by getting ahead of it, and he tweeted it out and announced the MVP hours before it was supposed to be announced on Amazon Prime, who had the exclusive, I guess, announcement rights. So everybody was kind of they were busting Shams chops there on Amazon Prime. I think Blake Griffin told him to, like, hey dude, it's Sunday, like, go get brunch and just enjoy yourself. All right, you don't have to be grinding.
Okay, so that's
away
why Malika
news
today on NBA Live or whatever it's called said, here's Shams joining us from brunch.
That's right.
So she made a joke about
it. She made a joke trying to make light of it.
Understood.
Now we have the anonymous NBA player poll where people are being, you know, players are being asked a bunch of different questions. Which arena has the most passionate fans?
OKC.
OKC comes in at number three. Now, passionate doesn't mean
Boston,
good fans.
New York.
Yeah. Boston and New York. So yeah. It's the Celtics got the most votes for having the most passionate fans, according to NBA players. Then MSG and the Knicks, and then the Paycom Center and the Thunder. Okay. And then the very next question to the players is, which one has the most obnoxious fans?
Oh, Philly.
Philly's number two.
Boston. New York.
Boston is still number one. Knicks are three. So the Mavericks did not get any votes. We have not been, I guess toxic. Now, of course, Nico was not being asked any of these questions, so we didn't get a single percentage point on toxic fan base, which I think is nice. Now, we remember a few weeks ago, maybe, where it was LeBron that was calling out the city of Memphis.
Right.
Yeah.
The hotel and all that stuff.
Yeah, he's just like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to play there.
And he's not alone. There's been plenty of other athletes that have called out Memphis.
120 players were asked anonymously, what's the first team on your no-trade list? The last place you'd want to be traded.
Uh-huh. It's Memphis.
Memphis with 36%
wow.
of the votes. Okay. The second most is 12%, and that's the Wizards.
Ooh. So, or Anthony Davis.
I mean, by a landslide, nobody wants to play in Memphis. Like, that would be brutal to be a Memphis fan. You're like, I know I have – nobody wants to play for my team.
If we can't draft for you, we got to trade for you.
And these guys
– nobody's picking it.
Yeah. And they're saying they don't want to be traded there. Like, even trading for a superstar over there, like, it's borderline impossible. I don't know. It's a bad place to be.
And they've done a pretty good amount of winning for the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, they've had some moments.
You thought the Gyro was going to be big. That's falling apart.
And the Mavericks did not get a single vote. There's not a player that was voting here that shows the Mavericks as a team that would be on their no-trade list. That's
might have been different in the Rick Carlisle era.
Perhaps.
I think he had quite a reputation for making life hell.
And
his pursuit of greatness.
I think Mark had rubbed some players the wrong way.
Yes, that too. Yep.
And the players were asked, like, what do the smartest teams spend money on? Like, beyond player contracts, what are they investing in? And, of course, the players, 86% of them said player comfort.
Okay.
It's like,
so what would that be? What does that entail? The food?
It's
everything?
The facilities, yeah, just across the board.
Yeah.
Travel, hotels, the facilities, how nice everything is, the recovery stuff, all of it. The staff. You have a good staff? Do you have enough staff? I know that's like a complaint that maybe Cowboys players have about the training staff with the Cowboys. It's like, they're good, but we just need more of them. So the players are like, just player comfort, man. If you want to be a good team, invest in me.
Appreciate you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
We got one down, four to go. A little football fix coming up. We'll check.
Let's talk Eli not wanting to be a Charger and what would be the best remaining free agent fit for your Dallas Cowboys. That's next in the Nation.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.